Time for Rural News with our rural reporter Susan Murray. And not all is equal when it comes to COVID-19 vaccinations for those in rural areas, Susan.
Good afternoon, Marnie. As a mass COVID-19 inoculation event starts in South Auckland today, providing the service to country and rural people remains patchy. The Rural GP Network's Fiona Bolden says some remote areas are vaccinating, but others are well off starting. She says not involving general practitioners in very early vaccine discussions has meant an even slower rollout to rural areas. Dr. Bolden says it was never going to work expecting everyone to travel to larger centres. She says that's been addressed now, but the program depends on rural GPs managing workloads and completing the unnecessary vaccine training program.
Many rural areas are really, really stretched for rural GPs and rural nurses as well, because remember, rural nurses are a key part of the vaccine rollout. And so in some areas, people have had to find different solutions around that. So who will be part of the workforce for rolling out the vaccination in rural areas? So there are solutions. It's how you get to those solutions in areas where rural healthcare is under extreme pressure, and there's very little energy to sometimes address that extra strain of trying to do the COVID vaccination on top of all the business as usual.
Dr. Bolden says the network's GP members are being creative and committed to providing the service.
For example, in our area, we're doing all our vaccinations on a Sunday, for example, and we're doing every Sunday until Christmas so that we can get through the entire population, because usually it is so busy in the practice that there's no room to get the numbers through that we need to do. But in other areas, they are doing them every day, you know, a small amount every day, rather than doing huge vaccination sessions.
Fiona Bolden says vaccine uptake by rural people, especially those near holiday destinations, has been good. The government is putting an additional $2 million into community projects to control wilding pines. Wilding pines are aggressively spreading throughout New Zealand and threatening landscapes. Biosecurity Minister Damien O'Connor says the money is going to 12 community groups to complement national control programs. Successful applications include projects on Aotea Great Barrier Island, Banks Peninsula and areas around Lake Taupo. Bids for the money were received from 34 groups with 10 regions, totalling over $6 million. Despite major damaging weather events, a rural insurance provider says it will be continuing to back farmers. FMG has recorded its largest ever after-tax profit thanks to an increasing customer base, fewer storms and a strong equity market. After 5 years of average profit around $19 million, the company made just over $59 million last year. With two recent floods in Canterbury and Buller, concerns have been raised as to whether insurance companies will continue to cover such events. But FMG Chief Executive Chris Black says they will be.
We're very focused on making sure that, you know, for the rural sector, there's continued access to affordable insurance. One of the things that we're doing, you know, proportionally more now is, you know, working with parties and with our clients to focus on prevention. So really understanding the underlying risks that, you know, they're facing in terms of where they live, how their business operates and things like that. So I'd like to see, you know, more focus on prevention. Yes, we can ensure there's good protection there when things happen. But I think increasingly as a country and a sector, we're going to see more need for more focus on prevention.
And Chris Black says the company has received about 700 claims from flood-affected people on the West Coast and Marlborough. A master Japanese cultivator of table grapes sees huge potential in Hawke's Bay for expanding production of budu grapes. The picture-perfect bunches are highly valued as gifts in Japan and can fetch up to $160 a piece. Tetsuya Higuchi grows a small amount of the fruit near Clive to complement his output from vineyards near Tokyo. He says in New Zealand he can produce 20% more grapes to the hectare and they're much higher quality.
The most biggest grape is 40 gram per grape.
So it's like a golf ball size.
Yes, like golf size.
They're big.
Very big and very sweet. All of them seedless.
Mr. Higuchi and other Japanese entrepreneurs will expand production to about 100 hectares here. And you can hear more on Country Life tonight after 9 and tomorrow morning after 7. But it's time now to turn to the latest sale yards report from around the country. And to tell us more, we're joined by Suze Bremner, the senior analyst at AgriHQ. So Suze, what's been going on this week?
Hi Susan. Well, this week we've seen old season lamb numbers, so those are the lambs born last year. They've started to fall away and most of the yards we cover reported a reduction in volume. That's only meant though that buyers have had to step up their game and prices remain strong this week. So at Temuco, good mixed-sex lambs held at $123 to $140, and at Canary Park, the top end of a small yarding reached $144 to $152. Stortford Lodge sold around $3,200, and with several lines of heavier weights and a stronger market, it actually meant that the average price there was $170. So with fewer lambs coming forward, prime lambs are also being chased, and the top lines continue to easily surpass that $200 mark. And this week we saw 283 for a line of mixed-sex at Canterbury Park.
Far out. What happened with the ewes this week?
Well, breeding ewes are still available, but it's actually been quite interesting to see that unless they're coming out due to a farm sale, vendors are only offloading those with low or very high scanning percentages or the lighter end of their flock. These are not necessarily what buyers are looking for, and so that market's just not really firing like it has. So just over 1,000 at Stortford were mainly mixed stage and sold for $160 to $190. And at Fielding today, they've been making $160 to $230. We did, however, have a couple of lines of ewes with lambs at foot at Stortford, and these sold very well at $117 to $125 all counted. So it's always very typical for the first ones that hit the market to sell very well.
And there were strong prices for cattle this week.
Yeah, there were, that's right. So prime prices have continued to firm, and there was a big prime cattle sale at Colgate, which was a real talking point. So vendors there took the opportunity to get their heavy cattle off paddocks into the strong market, and they were definitely rewarded for that decision. Demand from a varied buying bench was such that Angus and Charolais Cross heifers matched the strong prices posted for steers at $3.16 per kilo plus. And in fact, some of the Charolais Cross topped the sale at $3.20 per kilo, so go the girls.
Not the only girls on the program. That's Suze Bremner from AgriHQ, but it's back now to you, Marnie, in the Olympics.